every thought aside, everything that you carried along with you into this sanctuary, any worries, any anxiety, anything that is going to hold you from spending this sweet time with the Lord, with His Spirit, in His presence. I just want to invite you to take a posture of prayer. If you want to come to the altars are always open. Or make the altar wherever you are. So I want to do something different today. You know, we've gathered together as a body of Christ. We are His children, but very often we find ourselves fighting our battles alone. And so today, if there's anybody in this room whose spirit is burdened, who's struggling from physical illness, who just wants a touch from the Lord, who wants to bring everything before Him, I just want to ask if you want to raise your hand so I can just see if there's anybody in this room who needs prayer. And I want to ask that as we have one person who is seeking God, they know the struggles that they are feeling today. I just want to encourage you, if Melissa, if you're okay, if people come around you and pray for you, and I just want to ask, let's do that. Let's get up. Let's reach out. If there's anybody else here who could come and join our brother here at the altar, I invite you to come. Because that's what we are. We are here for one another. We are here to comfort one another. That's the mandate that the Lord has given us. And so, Heavenly Father, we want to come before You this morning. You know our needs. For everyone who has joined us online, we also want to bring them into this sanctuary as we gather together as a body of Christ, Your body, Your children, in this space, Lord, at this moment. We acknowledge that it's through Your grace that we have found freedom. We didn't ask for it. You gave it to us freely. You took that responsibility on Yourself. And You provided that grace free of cost. But You paid that cost. You stretched out Your arms. You took the pain. You took the burden. You took the shame. You took our guilt. Everything upon You. And You offered that to us free. And so today, Lord, we receive it. If there's anything that's standing in our way, that is hindering and creating a barrier for us, Lord, we just want to open our hearts. We stretch our arms out and we ask, we receive that grace free of cost. It's available for each one of us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for what You have done. We cannot forget that. We cannot understand the depth of Your love. We cannot understand that sacrifice. And You would do it for one more. You would do that for one more, to win one more into Your kingdom. You would do that over and over again. So we just want to acknowledge the privilege we have to call You our friend, to call You our Abba, to call You our Father. Thank You, Lord, for that. And as we surround our brothers and sisters today, Lord, who are calling out to You, we want to stand in the gap and intercede on their behalf. We want to pray if there's health challenges, if somebody is struggling with their body and things that are affecting them, Lord. We just want to bring that up to you, into your throne room of grace. And we know that you are a healer. We know that you can do miracles. You can turn things around. And you have shown us. And we have witnessed that, Lord. And so once again, we want to bring Melissa into your hands, Lord. Do your work in her life. We want to pray for our brother here at the altar, who's, you know his needs and you know the things that are important to him. And we just ask, Lord, that you touch his life and bring him freedom for whatever he is asking of you today, Lord. This is our role as we come alongside one another. And there may be so many needs here, Lord. Help us, Lord. To stand in that gap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O Lord, for who you are. Thank you, O Lord, for who you are to this, to each one of us sitting here. And we just commit our time, our worship into your hands. We commit everything that we bring into this church, our offerings, our gifts, as we serve in this church, our gifts as we volunteer, Lord Jesus, at Frontline. Everything that you have provided us, we want to offer it back to you. Take it, Lord, and use it for your kingdom. Multiply it, multiply our gifts, Lord. Touch people's lives with the gifts that you have given us. In our workplace, when we walk into the grocery store, when we talk to a stranger, when we go to pay for our gas, Lord, just help us to know that we are your hands and feet and you've given us new life so that we can pass that on to others. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the many, many provisions that you have given us. And you have taken care of us. Be with us, Lord, through this service. Be with us. Give us the peace that only comes from you. In your precious holy name, I pray. Amen. 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 Let's celebrate, friends, for what God has brought into our house. I want to invite the ushers to come and, gather the offerings. And so let's clap, let's celebrate. Thank you.
Yes, I will send you hiding alone.
chipping, you know. They were so good. Thank you so much, Chaplain Crowe. How's everybody doing? Wow, that's encouraging. I gave Ryan a hard time because as soon as I told him, he asked me who's preaching, and I said, it's me, and he said, where's your husband? I'm like, okay, that's very encouraging. I gave him a hard time, Trish. I know, it's like, it's great to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen, amen. I look forward to the week. I don't know, my energy, I call it my Jesus energy, runs dry. Runs out, rather, a little bit. And I really need my time on Sunday. And however difficult it is, I look forward, one, to seeing everybody, because that's how my energy battery gets charged. But I need this infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I need to be here. And so I'm so glad you all are here. You decided to come and be part of this. And I'm excited. You know, whenever Manoj goes, he always sends me these sermon ideas, and I like them. You know, it gives me sermon starters. But this time I didn't take that idea. I really had something that God was impressing me, and every time this happens, everything ties in. You and I didn't speak about the songs, we didn't select the songs. And I am just amazed at how God works. Because when he wants us to hear something, he makes sure that we are all, you know, that the Spirit aligns our hearts, our thoughts. And and so I'm just excited about what God has planned for us today. And I'm not doing any magic tricks. But I need my tools. Going to create a mess for Manoj to clean up when he comes back. So imagine yourselves in a big city, okay? I've lived in a big city most of my life before I moved here, and then I lived in Colorado, and then when we went to Canada, and Winnipeg was a big city, but I grew up in, like, there's a lot of people, okay? But so imagine for all of you Alaskans here who live in Wasilla, and when we get stuck in traffic, what do? We whine, right? And what's the traffic? Just maybe from Walmart to the four crossing here, but we can't tolerate that. But imagine yourself in a big city, chaos, okay? New York, picture it, we've seen it. People walking, rush hour with their phones, right? People don't even look up, walking down that street with their phones. They have their coffee in their hands. They have their headphones. I've done it where I've been talking to somebody and they have their headphones on. And so chaos, right? Like all this chaos everywhere. And then in the middle of that chaos, Jesus steps into that crowd. Ask my kids, after even warning them, I've told them, when we go to India, don't step into the crowd. But what do? They step in, and then they know what happens. If you step into a crowd and it's in the opposite direction, you know what happens. But Jesus steps into this crowd of chaos, and he looks at the crowd, and this is what he says. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3-11. So I'm going to read it. Mine is a New Standard, New American Standard Version. But if you have your Bibles, and that I know they're going to pull it up. Is that an NIV? Okay. So this is what it says. This is what Jesus said to his disciples, to that crowd of multitude on that mount. Do you think people didn't come from chaotic lives? They probably did. But this is in our setting. He's coming out to us in our chaos. And this is what he says. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. And what's this? Be happy about it, okay? Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is so contrary to our culture today. But here we are today, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen. So for a moment, let's just pause. When you hear these words, they're just not nice sayings. And one could say, you know, when I read the Beatitudes, I've read them and really felt, how does that apply, like, to my life right now, to us today? They don't point to the rich, right? The powerful, the famous. They point to what? Humble. The heart that's clean. It's calling us to be active lovers of God and our neighbors. We don't live in that culture anymore. This is counterculture, really. What Jesus said here in these verses is very counterculture right now. Think about it. In our world, in all the training that we receive, what is it about? It's about us. The focus is on how do we prosper? How do we need to fix everything so that we can get forward? How do we change our behavior so that we don't get demoted? We're trained, you know, the world trains us to be thinking about how can we get better in life? How can we progress? How can we protect our own interests before the interests of others? Isn't that what the world teaches us? You stand in the line. I was at the bank today. I wanted to go and do some work. And my patience was running out because somebody was being helped and the teller was taking longer. And this really spoke to me today because I just wanted to go do my work and leave. But I guess I needed to put on that lens that I don't know what's that transaction happening in front of me, but boy, my time was precious. I needed to get here. And was that coming up? Absolutely. I had no patience this morning when I walked through, but it's real. We face that, right? We walk into, we're looking for ways in which we want to advance in our career, or we're looking at things that can make our life better, and none of it is wrong. None of it is wrong. We all need that. But what is our priority? What happens in this process is very critical for us to think about. We then take on all that responsibility on us, and we admit to ourselves and to everybody who are in our sphere of influence that I can do this on my own. I got it. Has anybody said that when somebody's offered you help? Oh no, it's okay, I got it in control. It's in control. We've said that, right? It's hard for us to admit to anyone that we don't have it. But this is what this verse tells us. This is what the Lord tells us. He blesses those who are pure in our heart, those whose motives are uncluttered by selfish ambition or hidden agendas. He blesses those who make peace, even when it costs them something. Have you been in a situation where you're being tugged at to be a peacemaker? And you're thinking, wow, I don't know if I'll survive this conversation. It's like, oh, do I have time for this today? Oh, what's in it for me? Right? We come with that attitude. So today, as we explore, and I'm excited about this, the Beatitudes, I want you to hear them not as words that Jesus spoke in the crowd like 2,000 years ago or more. But what is God, that living word, what is He wanting to share with us today? So by the end of this message, I pray that together, me included, we will see that these are just not like distant ideals, like, oh, okay, Vandana, this sounds really great, you know. It's really difficult. You don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through in my life. It's an ideal that's really unattainable. Like, I cannot grasp it. But I want us, when we leave from here, is to look at, and as we walk together, not just, as we walk together on this journey this morning, how am I leaning into God's grace? We saw it, we sung it, that it's free. But so how are we leaning into it? Where do I need, let's take account. I want to take account of where does my heart need to be purified? And how is God calling me? What's that reflection? You know, so I want us to focus on three aspects of grace. So the first one is grace awakens us. And it's that first verse where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He's not talking anything about finances here. Jesus begins by, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is not poverty. This is not poverty of spirit. It's not poverty of money, but it is a poverty of spirit. It's knowing we cannot save ourselves. We don't come to God with a spiritual resume, you know. These days we have that checklist, you know, God, this is what I want, this is what I can do, this is how things, this is what you've taught me. You know, we have this checklist as Christians sometimes. I get caught up in this this list or this, just this thing about religion where it is, what have I done as a Christian? You know, oh, let me check mark. Oh, did I smile when I was not supposed? You know, we have this act that we live every day sometimes. And we do it so often that we forget that we are even in that space. But what I'm saying is that's not wrong. God has called us to be poor in spirit. But let me just illustrate this for you. So I have two cups here. It's like this. Imagine you're holding this cup, and this is what I mean, that Manoj will have to clean up my mess. You have a full cup, right? Life is full. He's given us a lot of things. We have, life is full. Our cup is full. God has blessed us. We're doing all our great stuff. Where is the time? It's a full cup. How can I fill it? I can't fill it. It's going to keep running over, right? There's no space for me to fill anything from the Lord because I've decided that it's full. I'm blessed. And we have everything. Sometimes we are blessed to the place we have, all our provisions are provided. We don't need anything. Even if we are feeling like, you know, we have certain ups and downs, you know, it's good. And we are going through this journey in life, there is no room to fill God, His Spirit, in our lives. Has anybody been there? Anybody feel that way sometimes? Where are we giving him the opportunity to come in and fill us? Sometimes we fill, we have to come, it has to be empty. For God's Spirit to be poured in our life, we have to come to him. Because we can't experience, we can't get anything new from him if our cup is full. And so when we come before him, and what I wanted to share here is through this, just this visual to show us that our lives sometimes are full. They're full with just living life, running from one thing to another, work, there's, you know, we're trying to do it all. You know, maybe it's our family, as I said, our work, it's our finances, there's relationships, there's, you name it, the list can go on and on and on. And like that full cup, sometimes we're just holding on to things. This full cup, you know, it's that balancing act, right? Like you saw me trying to balance that so I don't mess up even more. And for so that we don't mess up more, we want to hold on to all these things. We want to make sure and we ensure that, hey, this is good. I'm doing everything right. I'm taking care of it. But being poor in spirit means we set that cup down, and it means we say it out loud in our posture, in our relationship with God, that God, I can't do it alone. I need you. I can't do this alone. It's impossible. But how can we invite him into our life when we don't want to let go of this control that we have on everything? Because we know the best. We know it, right? Like we know our situation. We can change it. It's not just that one-time prayer that we can do and hand it all over. It's constant, it's continuous, it's every day, it's every moment where we take this daily posture of humility and willingness to let God's grace be enough for everything. It's such a freeing thing. I am hoping that along with me, you can experience that too, because I want to get to a place every time when I want to take this cup that's overflowing and take it in my control. I want to set it down and I just want to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own strength. I need you. That it's an automatic thing that comes. Lord, I can't do this on my strength. When you're feeling overwhelmed, when everything around you seems like, you know, have you thrown your hands up and said, okay, I give up, right? You done that? I give up. But how can we, here's it, train ourselves or be mindful that every day we take a posture of humility, a willingness to let God's grace be enough for everything. And when we do that, that's what Jesus is saying. You'll begin to experience the blessed life that Jesus has promised us. The situation may not change. The thing that's around you may still be there. You may be still having to go through your illness. But you know what? Because you have willingly let loose of that control and invited God to take control and have said, that's it, that's enough. God, I can't do this alone. I need you. The second thing is, grace sanctifies us. Because it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus says that Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Being poor in spirit gets us saved. It opens this door, right, for God's kingdom. This amazing thing that God has in store for us. If only our eyes can see, and as you have walked your journey with the Lord, He has opened it, right? You can testify, you have seen the secrets of that kingdom that He's provided you as you've taken that step. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus." 2 Corinthians 3:12, 3:18, Paul tells us, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed in His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit." So being pure is really not about being perfect. Purity, God has not called us that I want you to be perfect people. But it is a heart that is fully devoted to God and to others. When John Wesley called it Christian perfection or perfect love, the goal wasn't to be flawless. Like, he was not saying, what is Christian perfection? That you be flawless, you don't make any mistakes. But it's a heart that is so full of love, that is so committed to the Lord, that is so willing to submit and be humble in front of the Lord, that it doesn't see anything. It's not self-seeking, it's not self-motivated, it's truly submitting from inside to God with no strings attached, with no expectations. And God does that work in us. It's kind of like this this mirror, right? Like, our life is this mirror, and God is looking, and this mirror is like, I don't know. I know Isha did a great job, but there's all this stuff, right? Like, and He's working. There's all this grime, there's all this thing, you know? And He's like, I'm going to clean you, I'm going to work. It takes time. It's not like this one thing. He doesn't have Windex that just sprays it and cleans it up, right? But some of us need a lot more scrubbing, a lot more cleaning. And we do that, we go through that in our lives. Some of it is so deep that it may even, those scuff marks will still be there. But yet, in all that, God has called us, and He wants us to have this relationship with Him that is, it's unconditional. And how much we strive, how much we want to control even the amount of what He wants to do in our lives. We just want these little, here's it, here, I'm giving you this small thing, you know. I'm prideful. Oh Lord, yeah, you can scrub away my pride, and maybe you can scrub, maybe today I'll give you my ego a little bit, you know, and you can scrub away at that, and maybe there's something else. Maybe there's pain and hurt that's been caused by not of your own doing, you know, that's just there. We want to blame somebody else for even for that pain. We don't want to give. It's like, oh, I don't want to touch that, Lord, because that's too difficult for me, you know. But we want to control. We want to clutter. There's areas in our heart that where clutter has built up, resentment from someone who's wronged us, envy towards someone who it seems like they have everything. However, we don't know. Or it's pride that keeps us from asking for help. These smudges that happen in our life that reflect who we are distort God's reflection in us. So being pure in heart isn't about feeling guilty or trying harder. It's about inviting the Spirit to clean up those areas every day. Not just once a week, but clean up those areas every day. It's like pausing and asking the Spirit, Lord, what pride, what bitterness, what selfishness is in me today? Show me and help me release it to you. Again, I can't do this on my own. Can you imagine how exhausting it is? How exhausting it is sometimes to live through life? And we're all there. Sometimes it's just you feel that burden that's just pulling you down. It's exhausting to go through some of these big things that if we've experienced in life without God as our companion, without shouldering us, there's that picture, right? Like the footprints, have you all seen that? Where the Lord is actually lifting us up in His arms. It's, what does He want? What do we need to surrender to Him? So purity of heart is really a daily choice. To let God come in, let His grace clean us, fill us up, so His reflection can shine in everything that we do. The third one that I want to share with you is grace sends us. When God gives us His grace, He sanctifies us. But then what do we do with that grace? Is it just bottled up in us, just for us to enjoy? But grace sends us. So Jesus doesn't just call us to be changed in us, but he wants us to live it out. The Beatitudes that we read, if you'll read some more of them, they aren't meant to just stay in our hearts alone, but they're meant for it to flow outward. God sends us to act, loving our neighbors, serving the vulnerable, and reflecting His holiness in the world. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." James 1:27 reads, "Religion that God our Father accepts are pure and faultless. In this is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." It's like this, you drop a pebble in a lake and you've seen the ripples, right? God does this work in our lives. At first, there's just this little splash. You see the splash, but then you see the ripples expanding outward, touching every other part of the water. That's how our act of love is in the world. It may be a kind word, it may be helping somebody, it may be just smiling at somebody, it may be like not losing your patience. Like this morning, I'm no saint, even though I left that, I still was grumbling within and said, oh, I wasn't able to get something done today and I wanted to really finish that. There's so many things. It's like when you're driving is, everybody a good driver? Nobody has a heavy foot? But some things need to start small, right? And that starts today. Can you smile at a stressed out co-worker? Send a message of encouragement. Sometimes it takes time, but those are the little things, right? Make an intentional like act of love, such some small gesture. But just don't do this, oh, because Vandana preached about it on Sunday, and so now tomorrow on Monday, I'm going to just go and maybe smile at somebody, but then the next day if the person... Co-workers are the best, right? They know those buttons that they can press. And so what can you do consistently, right? Like it's not just a one-time, one-shot, like a one-stop shop. Just do this once, get it over with, check mark. And that's what I was talking about. As Christians, we can get to a place where we want to live out. We hear this over and over again. What I'm sharing today is nothing new. We've heard it over and over again. But we want to check that off. Hey, I did that. I'm good to go. But it's part of our lives every day, consistency. Trust God with the ripples. You won't always see the results. You may never get, that co-worker may never change their attitude towards you. Trust me, I've been there. It may not smoothen out. But we've been called to be consistent. We've been called to constantly be, when that pebble hits the water, what's that ripple? Who is it going to touch? What changes are we going to make? You know, and sometimes stepping outside our comfort zone, God really brings situations in our life that are not within our comfort zone. Trust me, they're outside our comfort zone to stretch us. Maybe forgiving someone who has hurt you, reaching out to someone whom you normally avoid, or standing up for what's right, that's where the ripples are often the biggest. So friends, grace just doesn't stop in your heart. It flows out. It flows out. And it must flow out to others. So the Beatitudes, and I encourage you that when you go home today, if God is pulling on your heart, and if He is speaking to you this morning, is to read this again, to see what is He awakening. You know, grace awakes us up. It cleanses us. It sends us out. It's a journey. It's not a one-time fix. It's an ongoing, consistent journey that we have to embark on every day and every moment. So let me leave you with this challenge. And this challenge is for me too this week. Will you admit to the Lord in your quiet time that you need Him? Will you take a stock? Will you take an assessment of your life and say, hey, you know, what are those areas in which, even if it's going well, even if it's not going well, you have questions. We all go through this ups and downs. Even if it's a great smooth plateau right now, you're enjoying this time, but yet, you know, will you admit that you need God? You need His grace instead of trying to hold on to everything? Will you let the Spirit do like work, burning away those little things that are holding you back? And will you take that love out into the world? Will you think about those small acts of kindness? Will you think about places where you're like, you know, even though I have so much going on, I don't have time to maybe call somebody. Is there somebody that, and I'm guilty of that. It's like you work all day and then you come back. I don't have the energy, you know. But I know the Lord is speaking to me because I've become very selfish. I want to think about myself, but I know, and yet, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty about it, but it's just, what can I do? That doesn't take a lot. It could be just submitting it to the Lord and He opening a door and giving me the strength. So what we read today, it's not a lofty idea. It's not the stained glass window up there that's only meant for us, that is unattainable. It's very basic. It's the foundation of our faith. It's everyday living, every day. And so I want to take this time today to open up the altars. If there is anything you're holding back, if there is anything that is standing in your way, if the burden seems so big, unattainable, but I want to encourage you that God has it. All you have to do is let go of that control. All you have to do is say, you know, Lord, I can't do this on my own strength. You know, these were just not words that Jesus spoke on that mount, on that mountain. He's speaking those words right now on our own mountain of life, on our own situation. And so I just want to take about, as Chaplain Crow plays for a little bit, and before I close, I want to open us and give us the opportunity for us to come to the altar, or if you want to just raise your hand. Sometimes acknowledging that is that first step of giving up control. Coming to a place and anyone else? Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your words again. Your grace is free. Your grace cleanses us, purifies us, creates in us a desire to do something, to share it. And today, Lord, we just want to lift our hands. Take that posture where we open our hearts and just say out loud that we need you. We need your grace. Things are so big, so heavy. We can't do this on our own. We need you, Lord. We open our spirits. And we invite you, Lord, to take control of that big, big thing in our life. Acknowledging and trusting that you will do that work. And you know the best that is for us. You know the best. So Lord, take that. Take our pride. Take the things that hold us back from coming to you in humility and with a posture of surrenderance. Laying it all out. And seeing what you can do, how you can heal. Broken relationships. How you can heal our bodies. How you can heal the things that just hold us back. Help us, Lord. Our desire is to live holy lives, lives that are pleasing to you. But a life that's surrendered to your will every day, every moment. And so, Lord, we just want to lay everything before you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have no expectations from us, Lord. You just want us to come with open hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for your friendship, just for your sweet spirit in the midst of us today, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running? Of God, would you bless someone with encouragement and what he's done for you this week? Go in the blessings and the majesty of the glory of our Lord go with you, and his blessings upon you. You're dismissed.